And there it is. Welcome everyone to THP Radio for another exciting episode of On the T-Box. I'm your host, Dean, and back with me, as always, is my fellow staff writer, James. James and I could both be reached on the THP forum, as well as on Twitter under the handle at Dean of THP for myself and at Jman underscore THP for James. James, bud, it's been a while. How you been?
I've been good. I'm busy. It's summertime in my world, man. That's the life of being a teacher and a golf coach.
Yeah, the life of the teacher means summer's off and lots of golf, and you've definitely been doing that.
Oh, yeah. What 72 holes the last 2 days? I mean, not bad.
Oh, that's just crazy. Well, like I said, it's been a while, so there might be some first-timers out there tuning in today So let's give them an idea of what this show is going to be all about. On the T-Box is a golf podcast that's based on equipment, apparel, accessories, really anything else that we might find interesting that might come across our review desks. Today, we have a few topics to discuss, and those topics include Cobra Connect. We're going to talk Honma Golf. We're going to take a look at some fitting promotions that have been going on. And guess what? We have a new segment at the end of this show called Bag Battles, so make sure you stay tuned for that. So with that said, it looks like the starter is waving us up, and we are now on the T-Box. Recently, you know, we've seen some electronics make their way into the game, such as Game Golf and Arcos, as a way to really help players get a really close snapshot of not only their current round of golf, but, you know, how they've been playing for a week, a month, you know, a season. You can really get in-depth and explore your golf game. And now Cobra Golf has worked with Arcos, and they've installed a tracking chip with a microphone into the grip of their drivers, the F7, the F7 Plus, the LTD, and they call this Cobra Connect. It's going to give some very similar readouts to what we've seen with these other things that go throughout the bag. This is just driver specific. And James, you and I have both spent some time with Cobra Connect. So let's just start it off by saying what we think about it, how we've used it, and then we'll go in depth a little bit and talk about what the consumers out there might see.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to use it a couple times now because whenever I did the F7 Plus review, whenever it came out, it had the Cobra Connect with it. And, you know, that was before all this buzz that we're seeing about it right now, because Cobra's really finally started to push it. And I think it's a smart decision. It's funny because golf club companies have known forever that it's all about tech, right? I mean, tech sells, new tech.
Yep.
And technology in, well, our everyday lives sells too. So to see the two's finally starting to come together with units like Arcos, it's neat. And I've used it because, to tell you the truth, as a golf coach, we would get all the kids together whenever I got the latest version in, and we would go out to one of the golf holes and take turns hitting it and seeing who could hit the ball the furthest, because let's face it, deep down, no matter how serious of a golfer you are, you just want to see how far you hit the golf ball. So it's fun. It's intuitive. It's something different. It's not overcomplicated. Sure, there's a few hiccups. I mean, I'm an Android user. It's not as Android friendly as I'd like, but anytime I've run it on an iOS phone, it's been really good. I know you messed with it a bit more recently, right?
Yeah, I have. And, you know, I've got both. I have access to an iPhone, and I'm primarily an Android user as well. I think the entire setup is a little better on the iPhone. And for those who don't understand why we're talking about the phone, let's just give you a quick rundown of how it's used. So you have to open the app on your phone. You have to sync it with the chip that's going to be in the butt end of the grip on the driver. And then you have to keep the phone in your pocket. You can turn the screen off, but the phone has to be in your pocket because it's going to use the microphone that's on your phone to listen to your drive and your next shot. And it's going to pick that up, and then you're going to look on your phone after the round, or if you want to do it during the round, you can. And it's going to use the GPS tracking as well and show you where your tee shot was and where your second shot came from, so where your drive essentially ended. Now, James was talking about using it with, you know, the high school kids, and everyone wants to hit the ball far. I'm going to add this. It's kind of depressing when you hit a really good drive and you're like, man, I crushed that one. You get up there and you look at the app and you're like, 221. All right, back to the gym.
It's the It's the reality of numbers, right? Sometimes they're fun. Sometimes they're a little bit terrifying whenever you see what's really going on. But I think it's more fun than it is terrifying. I think if people take it for what it is, and plus the fact that it's just included with the driver, which was a really, really smart decision by them, it's a no lose, because the way it's built into the grip too, you don't have to use it if you don't want to, but it's always there.
Yeah, you don't have to use it, and it's built into the grip in the way that you won't really notice that it's there. Nope. You know, it doesn't really, you know, infringe on anything that's going to be like a normal grip that you might get off the shelf and put on it. So that the way that they have it integrated in there, it's really a nice combination. And I wanted to just go back to what you touched on when you just said that it's included in the price. So not only is it our Cobra drivers priced well, you know, when you look at the competition, they're priced well, but now you're also getting, you know, this extra piece of technology into it. Arkos last year, right? Arkos had the Arkos driver, which you had to plug into your grip. It extended the grip out, and you have to do that with the other ones as well. And you had to pay that extra premium for that. This is already included. So if you're looking at the, let's just say the F7, that's what, $349? And you can compare that to some of the other drivers that are out there. If you put the Arkos driver nub, and I guess that's my technical term for it, the nub on one of the other drivers out there, you're probably looking at close to a $550 investment. Not, because there's no extra premium to it. You're just getting the product, and you're getting the sensor, all for one price, and priced extremely competitively.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. And in my opinion, Cobra kind of pushed a little bit slow because I don't think they knew how people were going to respond to it at first. But Arkos has gained a ton of traction. I reviewed the 360, their newest version of it, and I mean, it's expensive. It does what it says. I mean, there's hiccups still. It's technology. It's always going to be. But as that's gained traction and momentum, I think Cobra's kind of realized that this really was a good move for them. And the fact that the grips are built the way they are is the smartest thing that they did, because it is just like a normal grip. And I think, if I'm correct, you can actually buy replacement grips, right?
I'm not sure if you can yet or not, but I thought
that was in the plans.
I thought that was in the works. And, you know, If it is, that's brilliant, because we've seen some of our forum members go out and talk about having to remove the sensor and trying to embed it into another grip. And I won't lie, that just looks like a big headache to me. So if I could buy the grip myself that already has it on there, I'm perfectly fine with the stock grip that came on the F7 driver lineup. So I'm perfectly okay with that. And you know, at the end of the day, it's a grip, and I'm going to ask you this. Would you sacrifice the feel of the grip? I know you have your specific grips that you like, as does a lot of other people, but if you had a grip that had this sensor built in versus having to try to manipulate your favorite grip to put that sensor in, which way would you go?
Well, I think this is a unique exception, and I think that's why it's cool that it's in the driver, because how many times around do you swing a driver typically? But let's be generous and say you're having a good day, and let's say, you know, 14 times. Yeah. It's not like a gap wedge that I'm going to hit way more than that in a round, or in your case, a 4-iron that you're going to hit way more in a round. but no, I mean, it's a serious point. So it's something that people aren't going to notice as much, because I am one of those internet golfers who's picky about his grip, but on a driver, I think you have more leeway with what you're going to use, especially knowing that there's technology built into it.
That's right. And you know, that technology as well, it's going to give some extra information. So they call it the golf DNA. And when you look at the app, after you get, I'm just going to say multiple rounds, because if you do it after one round, you're going to get the numbers, but you really want to see the average out a little more. So in your golf DNA, you're going to see what your smart distance is, what your average distance is. So when you get to a hole, if you're playing a course for the first time, and the app does give you the overhead view of what the hole is, and you can pick and choose and see what the yardages are, if you know that your smart driver distance, let's just say, is 240 yards, or if you're a real internet golfer, 290, You know, you'll be able to pinpoint whether or not that's the smart play. So not only is it giving you this information, but it's also trying to help you make, let's just say, an educated play off of the tee. And who knows, that might lead to some better scores if you're hitting something less than a driver, or if you know that you could comfortably hit the driver.
Yeah. I mean, and it comes back to this again. Remember, even there's a lot of people that don't like new technology and things like that, and they don't want to mess with it. Well, you don't have to. I mean, it's included in the drivers. That's the thing that cannot be stated enough. And why I think it's such a cool deal. I mean, it was not an upcharge. It's a cool partnership, and I'm really curious to see if it continues and how it continues. I guess I should say how it continues. I don't know.
Yeah. I think that's a good place to leave it, because I'm with you. I was a little skeptical of it when it first came out because it wasn't really pushed. And the way that it's talked about now and pushed out there now, and we've seen it in action now for, you know, over 6 months, it's really escalated. It's the popularity of it, which is cool. So I am also curious to see where it goes. Can this lead to Cobra Connect throughout the entire bag? Could this get on a set of F7 one-length irons? And then you're going to have something in your pocket that gives you yardages for every single club. It's essentially putting a caddy in your pocket, you know, for when you're out there. You'll be able to know your distances. You'll be able to know where your miss is consistently. It definitely could benefit some golfers, and if they're able to push that into other clubs without charging a premium for it, I think that's just a big win for the consumers.
Yeah, I mean, to sound as cliche as possible, the possibilities are endless.
They are endless. All right, well, that's kind of funny you said that. The possibilities are endless. We're going to shift focus now to a company that really does have a lot of possibilities that are endless, because they've got clubs that are, I don't want to say inexpensive, but affordable, to clubs that cost up to, you know, $5,000 a club. And that is Honma Golf. And we got more familiar with Honma back in the fall with the Tour World 737 lineup. I know last year you had the 727 lineup as well. And now you just got the Bazile, I hope I said that right, the Bazile Fairway and Hybrid in for review. And oddly enough, you and I were lucky enough to spend time together a few weeks ago, and we got to hit that Fairway and Hybrid, and I brought along the 737 UT Hybrid, and we got to compare some things. We saw some differences, and we saw, or I should say heard, some things that we really, really liked. So James, why don't you just tell us a little bit about the Bazile?
Yeah, so this lineup from Honma is, they even say it themselves, it's their game improvement lineup. They've got a belief and an understanding as a company, and a lot of people may not realize it, because when you look at the Tour World line and traditionally where the prices were, you think that's all that they are. But they're actually really, really conscientious in understanding that some golfers, well, let's be honest, a lot of golfers, unless you're on the internet, need launch, they need speed, they need distance, they need forgiveness, they need all of these things in order to have as much fun with the game as possible. And that's where this comes in. The heads are oversized. I mean, the three wood was 195 cc's, which for those people at home listening, there are of the major manufacturers that are out there right now, there's no one producing a three wood that's that large. It's the largest three wood out there, but it's not mini driver size. It's still about 40 cc smaller than what we were seeing with some of the mini driver craze from a couple years ago. So it's sizable. The hybrid's similar. It's what I would call an oversized hybrid. And because of that, I think both of us, it was funny because whenever I got them out, you were looking at them the way that I did, because I'd got to hit them a few days prior, that it's wondering, well, this is big, this is going to be interesting. But then you hit it and it does exactly what it says it's supposed to. It's forgiving. They want to launch the ball because the center of gravity is pushed down so far in it, thanks to the size. They are all stainless steel designs. There's not any carbon fiber in them, which is typical Honma. They're a big believer in what they can do with metal right now still. And they're lightweight shafts, right? Below, yeah. Both of them are sub 50 gram shafts, but I mean, I swing really, really hard, and I have had no issues keeping up with it and feeling where the head is. So it's a design that's a much broader spectrum than I anticipated, and it really, really rounds up the rest of the lineup from the Tour World stuff.
You know, the hybrid was the one I remember being on a par five, and I wanted to hit a layup shot, and you said, hit this, and I looked down at it. And I'm not a big, you know, shape. It's got to look right. It's got to be that. But there's something about a hybrid that it's like the one club in the bag to me that I would prefer it to have a certain look. And to be fair, I said this about the D300 hybrid. When I first looked at it, I was like, you know, it's not a shape that, you know, fits my eye. But then I hit it and I was like, yeah, that's fine. Shape looks good now. And this Bazile hybrid was the exact same way. I looked down at it and I was like, man, I have no clue what's going to happen with this. And I hit a fantastic shot. The ball got up in the air. It had a little bit of draw. And I was like, well, that might just be, maybe my swing was good, which we know it was not. Tried it again later and did the same thing. They tried it on the range and it was like a very repeatable ball flight. And, you know, I definitely enjoyed that. And the sound that it had, it's a little bit different than the Tour World lineup, but it's still so good. And there's something about a company out there that when they get the sound right on a club, it makes you seriously look at it and think about putting it in the bag.
Oh, yeah. I mean, acoustics make you, they can allow you to look past certain things. If that makes sense. I mean, you can look past a busy crown. You can look past an alignment aid that you may not like on it or a color or something like that because it sounds and it feels right because sound is feel. And you know my stance on that. I think everybody who's read the forum knows my stance on that. But that's the case. We both spent time with the Tour World lines. You having the 737 UT there was fun because the sounds were pretty similar. I'd say the UT was a little more solid, a little more sharp, and that's because of the size. But it was fun to see the difference in ball flights, right? And how much you could miss on the Bazile compared to the UT. And the best part about it is Honma owns that. If you go through and you look at things with it, they understand that the 737, the Tour World line, is always going to be their premium, better player line, but they believe in what the Bazils can do, and they're right, and it's fun to see them bring that over. I'd honestly like to hit the irons because if they launch like these do, then there's going to be a lot of play in those.
And something like that is, like you keep saying, is, you know, a lot of play and playability and forgiveness. That's the kind of stuff that this lineup definitely offers. And when we compared it, like you said, to the 737 lineup, the forgiveness of the UT model definitely took a drop. But there's another model in that 737 that probably fits in that gap perfectly between the hybrid that is what I like to call the shotmaker's hybrid, call this the game improvement hybrid, and then the Bazile, which is like the ultimate forgiveness out there. And I didn't touch on the fairway wood, so when you talk about the size of that, it definitely looked like a club that was built to be hit off the tee. Not one that I thought I would like off the turf, but just like the hybrid, it launched with no problem. And I'm not a guy who hits a lot of fairway woods off the deck.
No, and I think it's a design aspect, and you can tell Honma, they're very, very proud of the work they put in their designs, and it's rightfully so. The head's big. 195 cc's is big for a three wood. It just is. But the design of it with the sole, the way the sole's shaped, it makes it kind of hittable off the turf and much easier. It's got a little bit of a keel to it. So even though it's a deeper face, it's still playable. And with it being the lighter shaft, people can generate more speed. The kick point in the shaft and everything going on with that is going to help you get the ball up in the air off the deck. And the thing that I think we need to make sure to mention to people, because some people roll their eyes as soon as you mention game improvement with it all, these are not hook clubs. They're not draw biased. They're not going to cause you to just hook one off the planet. They're extremely, extremely playable. It's fun to see because, frankly, in my opinion, this is what they need over here on this side of the ocean. They need stateside with their push coming in. The Tour World line looks great. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. We all know they've got their even higher priced line than that. But this is the every man's golf club. And the fact that they are showing up in golf shops now, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I'm glad you talked about how it's not just a club that's going to go left. It's not so overly draw biased that, you know, players are going to look down at it and be like, oh man, I'm just going to hook this thing off the planet. Because to be honest, I move the ball for the most part from right to left. And to be able to only hit a subtle shot with this was perfectly fine. And believe me, we saw some people try to take swings with it and they could miss right. So the club could definitely, you know, go in that direction.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's still a golf club. The misses are still going to respond accordingly, but it's nice to not see. And because I'm like you with hybrids, I'm very, very picky with hybrids. And I have a fear of, even though I'm a fade player, I've got a fear of losing things left. And that just wasn't the case. And I don't mean to just talk about the hybrid as much, but I think you'd agree the hybrid was the rock star of the two that whenever we spent time with it. The fairway's really good, though. It's a game improvement fairway. And I think at that size, I think it would help a lot of people who want a second option off the tee and that don't hit a lot of three woods off the deck, but they can.
Yeah, the fairway would off the deck, off the tee, it was really good. Off the deck, because of the sheer size of it, there, at least in my mind, there was a little bit of doubt that would creep in. Man, is this thing going to, you know, get really high for me? Am I going to get enough out of this? Now, I did have some shots that you catch low on it. And the ball would get, we'll say it would elevate and it would just go. I mean, it would jump. But when you compare that to some other fairway woods that you and I have both hit, you know, the ball flight, there was definitely something about the look that you never got the ball flight up as high as we did with some other clubs. And I think that becomes more mental because you're looking down on it and it is a seriously large footprint.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest part of it. Whenever you can put that away, you can always hit it better. I mean, it's a lot like when the mini driver craze came through, right? Everybody's like, oh, you can't hit them off the deck. You can't hit them off the deck. You can't hit them off the deck. I've still had some of the best three wood days of my life hitting one of those gigantic things off the deck. So it's just an acclimation thing. It can be done. And like you said, even as deep as the face is, when you miss low, it's playable. I mentioned in my review, which I just finished up, it was a very mid ball flight for me off the deck. I'm not a high ball hitter anyways, but to me, a three wood of that size, mid's okay. Yeah. How many times are we honestly going to take a three wood and try to carry it into a green and get it to stop on a dime? You're not. I mean, that's not the playability factor of it, but being able to hit it off the tee and more successfully makes up for that. And it's a fun line for them that rounds things out really well. And that excites me because I fully expect to see more from Honma in the next few years.
And I think we will. And by the way, if our listeners out there haven't been on the THP forum, we do have something special with Honma coming up later this year in October. I think it's the 14th or the 15th. I don't have the date off the top of my head. But what's going to happen is there's a contest going on right now. So if it's still open by the time you listen to this, get to the THP forum and make sure you sign up for it. It's free. It's going to happen in your neck of the woods, and it's going to be with Honma Golf, which is going to be exciting. And if you know anything about them, at least if you, the only thing you know is what you've been listening to James and I talk about, they're extremely high end. They like to do things fun. They like to go over the top. If you look at their entire lineup, they have ferrules that are made of gold with diamonds in them, which is crazy for a golf club. So this is, whole thing is called the Countdown with Honma Golf. So what you need to do is you need to get to the THP forum and sign up for that. Trust me, if your name is drawn and that day in October comes, you're going to want to be home for what Honma is going to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I that's one that people really need to pay attention to because it's going to be a ton of fun.
Yep. I think the words magical and special are ones that keep floating around. So that's a good one. Make sure that, if you're out there and you haven't paid attention to it yet or signed up for it yet, make sure you sign up for the Countdown with Honma Golf on the THP forum. You know, we hope everyone's enjoying what you're hearing so far. Remember, you can subscribe to the THP radio in iTunes and the Google Play Store. Also, for those with an iPhone or an iPad, you can download the THP mobile app, giving you instant access to the THP homepage, THP TV, and, of course, THP radio, wherever you may go. Make sure you give it a download and drop by the forum to let us know your thoughts. Now, James, I know you and I have both been fit for clubs, and the first time you got fit for clubs, was it intimidating at all? Like, were you nervous about it?
Well, Well, yeah, I mean, given the situation, because yeah, you didn't know what to expect. It was what's going to happen. Is my swing going to be on? How long am I going to be here? Am I going to be able to hit golf balls long enough? I mean, there's 1,000 things going through your head, and most of them are not what should be going through your head.
Oh, exactly. And last year, Titleist, I thought, did a really good job of pushing Titleist Thursdays, which was their initiative to get people out and book a 45-minute fitting session with a local rep or just a local pro shop, and they can get fit for drivers all the way down to wedges. 45 minutes, it was free. There was no pressure to buy anything. I know that's something that people always think about. If I have to get fit, do I get pressured to buy? And lately, Mizuno just did something a little similar. They called theirs 900 seconds, which for everybody out there, 900 seconds equals 15 minutes. What they were doing is they were giving you 15 minutes to go in, take some swings, use their Mizuno shaft optimizer, which will help pick out an iron shaft for you. And they wanted you to try out the JPX 900 irons. These are promotions that companies have done to really take the anxiety away from people getting fit. Like you're saying, am I going to be able to hit balls? Do I have enough time to hit balls? Well, with both of those, you have time. You have 45 minutes or you have, the 900 seconds. And what they're going to do is they're going to look at, first off, there's no charge. So what they're not going to do, they're not going to look for your credit card payment after. But what they're going to do is they're going to look at your swing. They're going to get you fit to whether you're doing a 917 driver. They're going to fit you to one of the different wedge bounces that we see with the SM6s. Or what Mizuno is going to do is they're going to look in their entire matrix of shaft offerings, and they're going to find two or three that work absolutely perfect for you. How easy is that?
It's great, because you know why? It's structure. And I think it's like I mentioned, when you go into a fitting, a lot of people who've never been fit before, they're apprehensive about what exactly is going to happen. Because I don't know about you, but I've been to good fittings. I mean, we went to the ECPC, and I've been to bad fittings out on a range with a demo guy that comes in and has his launch monitor set up and is only halfway paying attention to you by that point because he'd been out there in the sun for 8 hours. And they're two very, very different things. With these, and Titleist brought to the forefront, it's structured. You knew what was going to happen whenever you went into it. They told you what each step's going to be, and here's what we're going to do, and this is how it's going to work. And to me, that's brilliant. It takes the apprehension away, or at least it should, because you know, here are your parameters, here's what's going to happen from that. But more than it, I think it's smart for the companies because it builds a level of trust that you wouldn't normally get at a demo day just out with somebody bashing balls on a launch monitor.
Yeah, and not only that, I know just talking with some people when I go to one of the big demo days in my area, my wife, one of them, she loves to hit different clubs, and there's some certain reps that will really give her a lot of time and get her fit for certain equipment, and they've done a fantastic job. But, you know, someone like her who is the average golfer, you know, she gets a little apprehensive about hitting a lot of balls in front of a lot of people. So when you're at a demo day, yeah, there's a good chance there's a lot of people watching you. These things, you know, specifically the Titleist one, Titleist Thursdays, they're every Thursday. You have to book them a little bit ahead of time, and it's 45 minutes. 45 minutes one-on-one, or if there's two fitters, one-on-two. There's nobody else watching you. There's nothing else going on around you to make you nervous. It puts you in a comfortable environment to get that one-on-one attention, like you're talking about, not the guy watching you hit a ball, look at his TrackMan, and say, oh, you hit that one good, give me another one, while he's talking to, you know, potentially another customer. One-on-one attention, 45 minutes, structured fitting for free.
Yeah, it's amazing we haven't seen it more, which, let's be honest, I would argue we kind of have, right? But it was in golf balls.
Mm-hmm.
Bridgestone. I mean, this is similar to what Bridgestone had been doing for quite a while. I mean, not to the same scale, obviously, but it's that idea, and I think it's the smartest thing in the world because there are a lot of people who don't hit golf balls well in front of others. They don't play a lot in front of others or whatever else it may be. Or as we all know, we've got some friends who are good golfers that can't hit a golf ball to save their life on a range anyway. So if you take them away from everybody else and get them in a more comfortable situation, it starts to build a rapport. And I'm on the side more than just talking about the structure and what it does for the person. I think it's the relationship that it builds with the company. And I think that can't be undersold. If you feel comfortable in a fitting, you're more likely to like what you're looking down at. You're more likely to be more confident with what you're looking down at and what you're seeing, and believing that you can find a setup in whatever company that works for you and that you actually want to play. I think that's the key.
Oh, it's so true. When you get with a fitter that you have time to build a good rapport with, and you know they're giving you the attention and they're getting you set, and you can see the results. It's not just, yeah, that one felt good. You can see the different results. It makes you want to, you know, work with that company. Sure, there's something in their lineup that will work best for me. And this guy right here, he's going to be the one to help pinpoint that. What's going to work best for me? And we see companies now, you know, particularly in drivers, they get a lot of the attention where you see all of these no upcharge shafts. But most people out there don't know what shaft is going to work best for them. You know, they want to play, you know, shaft XYZ because it's played on tour, or because, you know, their favorite player uses it, or their buddy down the street has one and I took one swing with it and I hit it really well. You know, there's all of these different options out there, but people are not getting fit. I mean, that's a fact. People aren't getting fit. So if you could go to a company that has all of these different upgrade shafts, and you can, you know, looking at Mizuno, they're doing it with the irons, and you could get on their shaft optimizer and they can pinpoint which shafts are going to work best for you, I think that takes a lot of the intimidation out, and it's really a good initiative and good step forward for golf companies.
Yeah, because, I mean, we've been yelling for years and years, get fit, get fit, get fit. Well, that's fine, but make it to where it's more accessible for someone to get fit. I mean, there's not a whole lot of golf shops around with people who do fittings. It's not as easy to find, especially in my part of the country, in the Midwest, right? It's not as easy to be able to just go out and find a pro who has fitting carts and whatever else to do. So make it accessible. If we want people to get fit and you want people to get the most out of your equipment, then come up with an idea that allows them to do that. And Titleist stepped out and they did it. I'll say it. To me personally, having owned one and played one, I don't think the 917 is the greatest driver on the earth. But with the way that they did their fittings, they could dial it in for people in situations that they needed to, and it makes it a really solid driver, because it is. But you build that extra little bit of, we keep throwing the word rapport around, and that makes all the difference. It's comfort. It's comfort and confidence, and that's what these things do.
Absolutely. And you know, you mentioned the 917 driver. I went through one of those Titleist fittings last fall at a time when I was struggling with drivers. I was playing a big old hook. You know, I was launching the ball extremely high, which is just what I do. And I spent time in a Titleist Thursday, and I got fit for a setup that, you know, when I walked out of there, I was like, man, I'm not sure. This might be a little crazy. Then I got the club in, and it immediately changed my driving. Now, it wasn't the longest setup, but it was a setup that I said, look, I can go at it however I'm going to go at the ball. And I know one thing for sure. I know it's not going hard left. I know it's not going to snap on me. And that is something extremely comforting when you're standing on a tee, knowing that you've pretty much eliminated one side of the course.
Yeah, and let's put it this way. You and I, we get to try lots and lots of equipment over the years, and we do lots and lots of things with it. Would you, with the knowledge base that you even have, would you have put yourself in that setup?
Not even close.
See, and that's why these things, that's why it's a win-win for these types of things with Mizuno and Titleist. It's a win-win for the consumer, and it's a win-win for the company, because now you don't have someone that's just going to go out and buy a driver off the shelf that doesn't fit them, that comes back in or goes on a forum or a blog or wherever else and says, oh, this is a piece of crap. It doesn't happen. And it took, what, 45 minutes?
Yeah, 40.
That makes things
minutes.
Accessible. Yeah.
45 minutes on TrackMan, which, you know, the TrackMan is that big name. Everybody wants to be on TrackMan. You watch, you know, the driving range at a PGA Tour event. You see TrackMan all over the place. And so being able to do that, that also gives a little bit of credibility to it. Look, I'm getting the tour treatment. It makes you feel good. When you're walking in there, you're going to get one-on-one time. You see the TrackMan behind you, and you just get to go. And you might walk out there with a club that says, hey, look, this club is the best fitting club for me. Or you might have one that says, eh, you know what, it compares pretty favorably to what I got. That's fine. That's a free fitting. It's there's no pressure to buy.
No pressure to buy. And I hope we see more go this way. I'm not sure that we will. But if nothing else, I expect Titleist to stick with it, especially, I mean, we're getting closer to their next line of releases anyway. So I expect them to stick with it. And Mizuno's kind of seeing the writing on the wall with it. Maybe we'll see some others go with it. I don't know. It'd be nice. It really would be nice.
It definitely would be nice. So we'll see where that goes. I applaud those two companies for doing good fitting initiatives for, you know, long term, not just come get fit within these 2 weeks, or you know, come to Golf Galaxy during the weekend and get fit for this. This was something that was a little more long term. I know Titleist has been going on pretty much a year and a half now, so I applaud them. It's a great way to help grow the game, to help get players out there with equipment that actually fits them, and to really open their eyes to the technology that's out there.
Absolutely. And as per usual, we pretty much agree.
God, that's kind of boring. Well, let's shake things up. It's it. This is our new segment here on the T-Box, and it's called Bag Battles. What it is, it's just a segment where we're going to talk about all the different equipment that's out there that we get to hit. There's a lot of good stuff, but when we go out to play, if we're playing in a handicapped serious round, our bags are limited to 14 clubs, which if you're playing with me, you might want to make sure you count, because usually there's more than that. But 14 clubs, it's hard to get everything into that bag. With only 14 spots, there's got to be some battles going on to see if club X can beat club Y. So, James, we're going to start it off. This is our first edition of Bag Battles. And just so you know, the only rules of Bag Battles are there are no rules. It's kind of like Fight
Club. Yes.
You can throw them all in if you want. We can limit it by, you know, if you want to talk about a wedge battle going on. But, you know, this being the first one, we're going to do this no holds barred. I'm going to throw it right to you. And usually how it's going to work is I think we're going to alternate, but being the first one, we're going to just shake it up even more. So, James, what is the biggest bag battle that's going on down there in Oklahoma?
Oh, man. You had to leave it that open.
Wide open.
Gosh, wide open. Honestly, for me right now, the biggest battle is with wedges. I've been playing RTX3s for quite a while now, and I absolutely love my RTX3s, but being who I am and what I am, my mind will wander from time to time. And some of the other releases that have kind of come in late, like the Cobra, the Pure Wedges, have caught my eye. So right now, the battle is between the RTX3s and the Pures, and they're two very, very different ways to accomplish the same thing, and that's really, really solid wedges. I think you're a lot like me. You've had pretty much every wedge set out there this year, and they're all really, really solid, and they're all a lot of fun. So it's all about finding that comfort level with stuff. For me, with the Pures, it was about the raw finish and the story. I love that story. I've traditionally played Cobra wedges quite a bit. The Morgan Cup that I was in, I was fortunate enough to play in. I was a Cobra sponsor, and I played the Tour Trustees whenever they first came back and they dropped on everything. And I used those for a long time, and I was comfortable with it. So it's a look I'm comfortable with, but like their soles, the wide low on the 60 degrees is pretty wicked for as low of a bounce it is. I think it's like 4 degrees bounce, but it plays like a lot more than that because of it. But right now, that it's neck and neck. I honestly, there's zero separation. This is tough. Dang,
it's tough. It's tough. That's why there's no rules. So I'm going to ask you a question based on your battle. Okay, so based
you're
on
making
your,
me
right.
You're no. You're making me rationalize my club habits. I don't like this.
Oh, just wait. There's more. Okay, so you're talking about the bag battle going on between wedges. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that for me, it's always hard to replace a wedge with another wedge because you use them for such a variety of shots. You know, with a driver, I'm looking to just hit a drive. I'm looking to hit the ball as far as I can and as straight as I can. With a wedge, I'm looking for something that I can use out of, you know, deep rough around the green, out of a bunker for full swing, 60-yard shots. So when you're out there and you're doing your wedge testing and you're going to be comparing these RTX 3s to the Cobra Pures, what is it that is going to be the one thing that would make the Pures knock the RTX 3s out of the bag?
Consistency and distance. And what I mean by that is I play a 50 degree 56-60 setup. And over the years, and you've played with me several years ago, I was always the guy that could, I was proud that I could hit my 60 degree 130 yards. Well, that was dumb. In retrospect, strong like bull. But, you know, that stopped. The 50 degree for me is a full swing wedge. It's the only full swing wedge of the three that I play in my bag. So I need to have spot on numbers from that, and we'll call it from 130 down. I need to be able to hit those numbers. So turf interaction's huge there. The 56 is going to be the bunker club and touch shots around the green, and then the 60 is the specialty. So for me, it all comes down into the consistency in the numbers. And it's funny because they both do it so differently. The versatile grind that is on the 50 degree for the Pure works really well for getting through the turf that I play in here. I play a lot of hard pan. It's dry in Oklahoma, but we do have trees, contrary to popular belief. And then the RTX 3, which has got the V-sole. And as far as I'm concerned, I've said it on the show before, I think every iron and every wedge should have a V-sole on it. Yet here I am still tinkering with other wedges. So basically, I've used a whole lot of words to tell you that I'm not real sure what's going to separate the two.
Thanks. No, I think you're right. Wedges, here, like we said, it's one thing that's tough, and you're right. Consistency is what you want.
I'm fortunate that a lot of wedge shapes, there's not a specific wedge shape out there that bothers me, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that don't like the big rounded leading edge of traditional Cleveland, and I don't mind that. A lot of people want the flat leading edge. I don't mind that. I can play that too. Long neck, the shorter necks that we're seeing now off of the hosels, the way the hosels have changed. I mean, I've gone through what SM, you're making me rationalize it. What SM6s, RTX3s, I've got the
don't
new
say anything. Don't say that anything that's going to get you in trouble reviewing. With the wife.
Oh, believe me, she already knows the depth of my addiction, we'll call it. But I mean, for wedges, for me, I expected it to be a cut and dry battle, but it's not. And I've shot some really good scores over the last 3 weeks with both sets. So I lean to the RTX 3 because I think the V-Sole is brilliant the way they did it on wedges. The full grind, the middle grind, and then I think it gives you the maximum amount of versatility, and it always gets to the turf from whenever we've gone and played on the East Coast in thicker turfs and more dense areas and grass to here in Oklahoma where I get a lot of hard pan and Bermuda. So I lean them. I think that's probably the way it's going to end up. That's the comfort level with it all. If you're going to make me absolutely force me to lean one way for you, man, dang you.
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we put it out to, you know, people on Twitter? So our listeners that are out there, you've now heard what James's bag battle is, RTX 3 versus Pure. Why don't you weigh in? Send a tweet to myself at Dean of THP and James at JmanTHP. Include the hashtag THP Radio. And you know what? Let's throw a hashtag in there for bag battles. What would you choose? Have you played both the RTX 3 or the Pures? What's the wedges in your bag? And if you were James, which direction would you go in? I'd like to see some responses from our listeners on that.
Yeah, I really would too. I think that's actually a good idea. And I'll even go so far as to whichever one gets the most, I'll throw them in the bag.
There you have it. That's a good way to settle that battle. It's up to the democracy.
Take it out of my hands, please.
Don't let James make a decision. You can tell he's already wishy-washy on which way to go. The technical term there, yes.
Yeah, I like it. It's like humps and bumps, right?
Very much like humps and bumps. All right, well, James, I think we're going to end it there. That's going to be the wrap for the show. I want to thank you for co-hosting today, as always. Remember, folks, you can join us both on the forum to discuss and debate everything we've talked about here. And don't forget to get those tweets in at Dean of THP, at JMan underscore THP. Hashtag THP Radio, hashtag bag battles. Let us know which one James should be putting in the bag. Also, you can head over to iTunes and Google Play to subscribe to the Hacker's Paradise. Or if you want to make it a little easier and you have an iPhone, you can download our mobile app. That way you'll never miss any of the podcasts that now appear under THP Radio. While you're at it, take a minute to leave your feedback on what you've enjoyed so far with our programming. For myself and James, we hope you have enjoyed this episode, and we look forward to meeting you again on the T-Box.